Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast, Hiring is Not an HR Process, Chapter 2, Part 3. The questions this cast answers are, how can I improve my ability to hire? Do I have to follow my company's standards? And how can I hire someone who doesn't meet our requirements? For answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Hey folks, you might not have noticed yet, however, that's what we're here for. We've now got a new product on our website called Executive Outlook Videos. This new product, for sale now, features 20 videos from top executives in the Manager Tools community as they share their essentials for being an effective leader. If you're looking to boost your career, this is the product that will help you do it. Find it online at manager-tools.com/products. Once you've gotten through that pile of resumes, it's time to conduct screening interviews. Now, for many of us in our organizations, human resources will offer to conduct screening interviews, and that's great. As we've recommended before, we would also agree, or we would also encourage, I should say, you to offer to conduct screening interviews in parallel with them.
With HR. Yeah.
Wait, yes, with HR. They can do them, yes. And again, going back to this theme, they're looking for and frankly equipped to look for different things than you are. So having HR and HR alone do them means you're missing opportunities because you've got someone who doesn't know the job as well doing something that's really important on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think to yourself, okay, Sarah, but yes, and I don't particularly have a ton of time to do a bunch of screening interview or screening calls when HR is volunteering to do them, then ask your number two or somebody else on your team to do a second screen on anyone that HR interviews. You don't have to do them yourself. You can have someone else.
Okay. I support what you said. And again, I'm going to go back to this strategic versus tactical. If you're really genuinely too busy to schedule 30 minutes with a candidate next week, first of all, I'd be a little shocked. I really would.
Mm-hmm.
You're also, again, 30 minutes on this candidate, I would argue it's more important than 30 minutes in that staff meeting that you don't pay attention
to.
Right. I would argue it's more valuable than the 30 minutes you spent, you know, at lunch last week. Not that you shouldn't eat lunch, but maybe, you know, you take a shorter lunch or something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people to be willing to subjugate their 30 minutes of being able to evaluate a candidate who might create success in the future of the organization to a staff meeting that happens every single week or, you know, one of those meetings where you're on the invite but not on the agenda.
Yeah.
If you're on the invite and not on the agenda, send your number two to that meeting and send yourself to a phone screen.
Such a good idea.
And just increase your reps, evaluate the candidate. It's a phone screen. Most of them are scheduled for 30 minutes.
Yes. And frankly, we would recommend they're no longer than 30 minutes. If your phone screens are longer than 30 minutes, move them down to only 30 minutes. You don't need more than 30 minutes. All of our data shows within 10 minutes, you know, you've got a gut feeling, which is the purpose of the phone screen.
Right.
You know whether or not they're worthy of bringing in for an interview. So more than 30 minutes is a waste of your time.
And I'm going to try it again, just in case I haven't convinced people. 30 minutes is less than 2% of your work week.
Yeah.
I would argue that most people are not efficient enough that 30 minutes is like that 2%, that you're in control of so much of your work week that 2% isn't lost to things like coffee.
Exactly.
So, and I'm not suggesting you don't have coffee. I'm over here with my coffee. I would cuddle it if I could, but let's just think strategically and skip the meeting you don't need to be in and spend 30 minutes with a candidate. Not only is it an opportunity to evaluate the candidate, which might contribute to the success of the organization, it's another opportunity to sync up with HR, and every positive interaction you have with them is going to increase your ability to bend these rules. And also, this, you engaging with the phone screen or your number two, again, fine, is really, really important because it might end up keeping a candidate in the system that you think has potential that HR would have eliminated.
That's exactly it.
If you review resumes, but then you let HR phone screen, again, this is you stepping out of the process. HR could say no to someone who might be great. And your team, the culture of your team might be slightly different than HR's culture. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why HR might make a choice. And you don't even, I mean, heaven forbid you don't know what questions HR are asking. Somebody told me this week about, like, if you were a color, what color would you be? Blue right. or yellow? What? No.
Exactly. And folks, the thing is, typically HR screening interviews are not as significant a screening effort as they are an educational effort. That is, HR often spends more time talking, telling the candidate about the company, talking to them about maybe salary expectations.
Mm-hmm. The package.
And the package, exactly. To a lesser degree, maybe the role, that is the job description, which we've already talked about.
Because they don't know enough about the role to tell them.
Exactly. So what they're doing in their phone screen is likely quite different than what we'd do if we had the 30 minutes. They're going to also have different standards than us. Again, they're measuring for different things. They don't have as much information. They're certainly less knowledgeable about what you and your team specifically need and are looking for. And they tend to have all the standard processes for all screening interviews rather than one specific to you and
yeah.
your team and what you need, which is completely understandable.
Absolutely.
I mean, based on the breadth of roles that HR is expected to interview for, screen for in this case, there's got to be, frankly, less accuracy about predicting fit for your role than if you were the one doing it yourself. So in terms of HR, they can't know. And I know this is going to probably sound worse than I mean it to, but at the end of the day, when you're left to manage this person, they will not be there to hold your hand. That's my big thing, right? It's like, okay, sure, you can do all the work, but I've got to manage this person at the end of the day. Whether or not HR thinks they're worthy of coming through the screening process, that's one thing. But they don't have to manage the person at the end of the day. You do.
Yeah.
Take a more active role in a process that the result of influences your day-to-day life for years.
Seriously.
Instead of abdicating responsibility to a person who is going to give you very little help when you've made a bad hire.
It's such a good point because one of the things that we've been talking a lot about is the idea of making sure that we're producing podcasts and talking about content that helps you, managers who are listening,
yep.
get management done. And that's something you have to do every single week with this person for the future. What if they stay 5 years? How are you going to get management
yeah.
done if you can't work with this person? Also,
exactly.
You want to find out, like, you don't want HR asking, like, are you blue or yellow? You do want to know.
What kind of tree would you be?
If, oh gosh, the tree. Is aspen better than spruce? I don't even know enough about trees to, I don't know. And, okay, you should know what questions HR is asking to make sure they're not asking those. But you should also know if they're selling. That might be a big benefit.
Yeah.
Especially if the market's tight. It might be a fantastic thing that HR is telling the candidate about the
doing
packages.
Doing for you.
Yes, 100%. It might be very convincing. It might, you know, you need to know. And that might be a great thing. Hey, this is what we're going to offer.
Absolutely.
Like, this is what the offer might look like. This is what they're selling the person on the company. That might be a great thing for you. It is not the same thing as determining whether or not this person can do the job. They're completely different things, right?
Like, yes. Different purposes.
Different purposes. Let's make sure we understand what's going on in HR's phone screens and that we therefore know whether or not those phone screens are working towards determining this person's abilities or if they're just, hey, it's great to work here. We have a ping pong table in the back or whatever.
Right.
So many people have ping pong tables now. And
so many. It's such a thing.
Actually, maybe after the pandemic, the ping pong tables have been dismantled. I don't know.
Ooh, I don't know, dude.
It's really hard to know.
I think there's more fancy stuff now.
Oh, try to get people back.
Yeah, luring people back. Look at all the fun things that we have in our coffee room now.
Yeah.
I think it's bait now. Ooh, that's probably a bad word to say, but I do. I think people might be baiting them with fancy ping pong tables.
I think that's a perfectly legitimate word for that. Okay. So the idea is that we will have dual screening.
Correct.
Situation here. Dual screening interviews. So HR gets introduced to you doing screening. And we're doing this like in parallel. And it doesn't have to be in parallel. They could be sequential. And we're on both tracks here.
Exactly.
Yeah. We know that a lot of managers must want people, they want HR to do as much as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. We get that, right? They're using HR to narrow down the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
We can see the logic in that. And again, we've talked about why that logic fails after a certain point.
Yes.
We get it, but remind yourself that that's a tactical approach rather than a strategic. So, I don't know. Let's do this together with them.
Yeah, exactly. And in terms of both of us screening, again, yes, it is more workload. But if your need is urgent and important, which it is, and screening interviews are only 30 minutes, it's worth the investment. Something that I feel like we've not talked about yet, Kate, but is absolutely true in times when the hiring market is hot, that is, there are fewer candidates to go around.
Mm-hmm.
The longer our process takes, the increased likelihood that a good candidate, someone that is in our pool that we want to hire, by the time we hire them, will be gone, or by the time we're at a place where we're ready to, because those processes drag out.
Yeah, we got to watch out for that.
The thing about inserting speed into the process, gathering resumes, whittling down resumes, doing phone screens, interviewing, the more of it that you do yourself, the quicker it can be done.
Yeah, you're not burdened by a bunch of processes and flowcharts and all that stuff. This applies to the whole process, but when you start screening, right, you're more able to be increasing the speed. You're also—
Exactly.
You're able to be more accurate about the role, and really it's about the urgency of your need. And it also means that if HR gets comfortable, you may be in a situation where you get to screen candidates that HR doesn't have to screen. And that means, again, increased speed. If you need somebody fast, you don't want to be bogged down by what may be an onerous or, quite frankly, ridiculously burdensome process. And I would suggest that there's benefit in creating relationships and creating a process that HR is comfortable with that includes you going around their process.
Yes.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, back to the HR on the screen. Yeah, exactly. Bending. Exactly. Just working with them in terms of what you can do in a comfortable and safe kind of way. Now, HR, in terms of phone screens, resume, phone screens, things like that, HR, if doing them by themselves or when doing them, maybe is a better way of saying it, often only tells managers yes or no. Now, that binary response to a phone screen isn't overly helpful, since you and your team are really here meant to learn more about the candidates to prepare for a final set of interviews if they make it through.
Right. So our guidance will help you learn more about the fit than HR's process will.
Right. It's just a yes, no. Yeah, they can move to the next level, right? The interview process. But for us, because it's all a buildup for a culmination, right? We're adding more and more information to the picture we're painting of that candidate. Having all of the information from said phone screen will be helpful in your making your determination, right? Will we bring this person into interview? More importantly, will we ultimately hire this person? Because we've got even more data. Yes, no, doesn't tell us a whole ton.
It doesn't. And we've talked about this a little bit in other casts about sometimes when somebody says yes or no, and I'm not just suggesting that HR is guilty of this. Lots of other interviewers are. Sometimes the yes, no is really like whether the person likes the candidate or not.
Yeah.
Yes, I like the candidate, or no, I don't. And y'all, there are a lot of people I like that I would not hire.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if HR is just telling you yes or no, you don't know what their criteria are. Yeah, their screening process doesn't maybe have the same amount of rigor, doesn't, if it's just a sales process where they sell the candidate and then they just ask the candidate, oh, do you have any questions? And then they say, oh, yes or no. What is that based on? I'm actually frustrated that I don't know what, I'll never get an answer to that question. Like that is not a valid yes or no in terms of, will this person be good at the job?
Right.
So let's not consider that that's enough. Let's get in there. Let's see what's going on.
Exactly. And I love that. Let's get in there.
We're talking about workload. Sure. I know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not just your workload. It's your responsibility to make hiring decisions for the team. It is, y'all. And look, please include your whole team in this process. Have other people screen. If they don't know how, we have guidance. Of course we do, podcasts. And the screening is only 30 minutes, as we said. Involve your team in this process. Assign individuals to communicate throughout the process to keep the candidates warm with each candidate, right? It doesn't have to be you. So it's not just your workload. It is your responsibility. And you have people to whom you can delegate. We want our team members to engage in this. We want them to learn. We want them to communicate. So tell them to keep other people posted, either with BCCs on the emails to the candidates, forward the candidates' emails, screenshot the text messages, things like that. Let's be aware of the candidates being kept warm.
Yeah.
If the market's that tight, what are you doing ignoring them?
Right, exactly. And internally as well, communicating both with the candidates as well as internally amongst all of the people involved. Again, if it's warm or if it's cool in the market, we need a robust dialogue internally on our team when we're screening resumes, when we're conducting screening interviews, when we're setting up and conducting final interviews. There should be a constant dialogue internally amongst the interviewers and or others involved in your process about impressions of the candidate, potentially even a status review of all candidate status and comms with the team during your weekly staff meeting. Again, insert into the process a sense of urgency. Don't make this something that we rarely talk about every week. Touch base on it. We recently were going through a process of trying to bring in a new individual for our IT organization. And every week on our ops call, there was a 10-minute portion in time on the agenda assigned to a full team member update. Not to mention the fact we use Slack internally.
Mm.
There is a Slack channel. And at every stage in the, every time there was a phone call, every time there was a screening interview, every time there was a technical interview, what have you, there was a constant dialogue on Slack so that everyone knew where we were in the process. Even those who have nothing to do with hiring a new IT person felt the urgency of hiring a new IT person.
It also means they ever have to hire for their part of the organization, which could totally happen, they'll know this is the standard. Like, okay, this is what I saw last time. And they will, you know, we're just leading by example. Like, they'll know what to do. And again, you might have to work with this person for the next 5 or 10 years.
Absolutely.
We really want to know if we are doing what we need to do to get them in. We really need to know that they're going to be the right candidate.
Exactly.
Hey, y'all. I'm bringing the word y'all to Germany, and we will be hosting a public conference, Effective Manager and Effective Communicator, in Frankfurt in February on the 7th and 8th. It's coming up quick. If you're in the European theater and you'd like to come see us, we'd love to have you. Effective Manager, Effective Communicator, Frankfurt, February 7th and 8th. And you can sign up online at our website, manager-tools.com. And under trainings, you'll find the Effective Manager, Effective Communicator links there. And we'd love to have you.
All the while, we are negotiating with HR. And now, even while these negotiations, I'm going to call them, with HR are occurring, we want to begin interviewing. Don't worry, If you end up in discussions with HR, continue doing what you're doing. Don't let the threat deter you is what I'm going to say. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and threat's a strong word, but it's just a conversation usually.
Exactly. That's the thing. But just the booking of that meeting, I think many managers see as a threat, right? It's like that, oh, I may have gone too far this time. Don't let that deter you, right? HR may feel they have control of the hiring process, and that's fine. There's nothing we can do about that. I mean, it's taken us years to get to this place. But HR cannot prohibit you from interviewing. They cannot prohibit you moving forward with the candidates that you have interest in.
Right.
Don't allow these subtle threats to stop your progress. Don't put all the brakes on to your hiring process and, again, miss out on really good candidates because you're in negotiations with HR and that's going to take the back burner right now. That's the priority. So keep moving.
Yeah. HR really can't prohibit you from interviewing.
No.
They can't stop you from moving forward. You could think, hey, this is a wasted effort.
Yeah.
We understand. You could say to yourself, well, HR could let me go all the way to the end after my team and I have spent these hours and hours only to have them say, we're outside the official process. And so somehow it's negated all that effort and we can't hire. This is incredibly unlikely. And we've never heard of a single case of HR stopping a manager from engaging in the entire process, even if you've not followed their strict, if it is strict or even documented, maybe not.
Yeah.
Protocols.
Exactly.
Never heard of that.
Never. Think of it this way, guys. This is one of the reasons that the kibosh isn't put on all of these processes. Think of it as though you're the CEO. Do you think the CEO would back HR telling you you can't hire someone for a role on your team if you've done excellent due diligence and followed a huge process where you and the folks on your team have all been involved in reviewing resumes and screening candidates? Do you think that the CEO would back that?
No, they wouldn't. They would say, look at these people helping out.
Exactly. That's the thing. We know how CEOs think. That candidate is gonna be your person. If you want to hire them and you have an open rec, which again, we talked about at the beginning, you have an open rec to begin all of these activities, barring someone blatantly disregarding of highly documented processes is fine. Go right ahead. We don't care. We don't have time for that. It doesn't matter if you're following a highly documented process. What you've done has got us the result we want. It's all about the result. And this is especially true in tight hiring markets where your company is desperate for talent, which is often the case. If you followed our hiring guidance about looking for reasons to say no and conducting multiple behavioral interviews, and you've used the results capture meeting, and you've got, because we talk about this immensely in terms of listening, and you've all got packets full of well-written notes for each candidate, you're going to be allowed to go forward. You just are.
Maybe they're not well-written, but it's well-documented.
Yeah, good call. Well-documented.
The handwriting isn't great because sometimes...
Right.
The last time I interviewed, I ran out of ink and a pen. I had 18 pages of notes. But if I have 18 pages... And my direct has 18 pages, and then two other people have 18 pages.
Yes, 18 pages. It's a lot of pages.
You know what that is, y'all? It's a documented process.
Exactly.
It's a documented process that you went through.
All you need to do is show that and walk through your process. Done.
It's also about the candidate rather than about the HR process. Like, HR process doesn't have anything to do with this candidate.
It doesn't.
It's just a flow chart.
Mm-mm.
This candidate has gone through a process that we have documented that is about them. All of this data we've gathered. And okay, we're not trying to be cavalier about stepping on HR's toes. We're nice. We swear. We're nice.
We are.
We recommend you negotiate with them like a professional. Be polite. Ask. Don't tell. Don't demand.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to them, you know, hey, you know, one of these job requirements ought not really be a requirement for this particular role. It's only a recommendation. We can teach that, or we could substitute this other skill.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, they know about the present market. Let's talk to them about why this market means we should think about adjusting our criteria, or, you know, increasing the speed with which we apply some of these rules. Even consider, I would suggest, looking at your own team or nearby teams for examples where performance is coming from someone who doesn't meet the stated criteria. There might be someone on your team who doesn't meet the job description or the job, the open rec keywords. Oh gosh.
Yeah, keywords.
And that person could be performing very, very well. I was once sitting in a hotel in LA, and I think I was in like kind of like the lobby lounge area waiting. And there was a younger professional woman there with somebody else, a gentleman, and he was going through her resume and recommending keywords for like a search function for HR.
Oh, wow. Helping her game the system.
I mean, you know,
wow.
It was just, I was sitting there and I was in LA to train an IT department. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, man, this kind of focus on keywords that will, you know, get you through the scanner of HR frightens me, because it's, again, we're just like, oh, we'll just let the computer do it. The computer can't know.
Right.
I will say the computer doesn't have likes or dislikes. So we, you know, that is eliminated. That part of the discussion is eliminated. And I don't think we should be comparing whether I like somebody versus somebody else likes somebody, because that's apples and oranges. It's not fair. It's not about whether or not they can be productive and effective. And just the idea that you're hoping to help your resume get through the computer scares me so much. And hiring managers, I heard this girl's resume. It was good.
Yeah.
There's resumes out there that aren't making it through the scanner. Let's go find them.
Exactly.
Man, it was a weird experience.
That is so weird. I've never seen that. That's so weird, but it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense.
Of course.
Folks, keep in mind, when you're having these dialogues with HR, be persuasive. Remember that in many cases, human resources is rewarded based on how many open recs they fill. It's in their best interest to fill your open requisition.
You're basically working for HR to help them meet their quota.
Exactly. So come to the conversations with HR in that fashion. Have an air of, I'm trying to help you in your dialogue, because you're working toward the same purpose. You're not at odds with one another.
No.
Don't come to the conversation as though you're at odds with one another. You're working toward the same purpose. So have the conversations that way. And in terms of comms, we've been talking a bit about communication, but even more communication. Another party not to lose sight of is your boss.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to keep your boss informed.
Yeah, especially when we might be, albeit unintentionally in many degrees, stepping on someone else's toes.
Right.
Your boss could hear some grumblings about your coloring outside of the lines. And we don't want them to be caught off guard by those grumblings. If they're caught off guard, yo, they're going to have a really hard time defending you, because they don't know what's occurring.
Right.
So as you're doing all of this, keep your boss informed. Let them know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Don't tell them you intend on breaking down HR standards, taking it back to basics. Tell them that you're trying to hire. Tell them the market is tight, whatever it may be. And everyone's always talking about being creative to get results.
And you have a creative idea.
Exactly.
Yeah. And y'all, this is like a pro tip. A lot of managers don't realize that this is what organizations mean when they talk about creativity and innovation.
Yeah.
That's creativity, innovation. It's not what research and development do. It's what everybody should be doing when conditions change, is altering their behaviors within and around the processes to get results.
Exactly.
Churchill said, those who never change their mind never change anything. And we love Churchill over here. If your organization is having trouble hiring because of the market conditions, you should be willing to look at what you're doing and be flexible in deference to that scenario. You have to change how you hire. And think of HR as a part of your company that is very slow moving to change their processes.
Yes, I was just going to say that.
Their processes are huge.
Yep.
Imagine just like this huge, you know, like lumbering kind of like animal, or I want to say spaceship, but of course I always want to say spaceship, trying to get up off the ground, and their processes are tying them down.
They
can't
are.
Move quickly. Mm-mm. You could wait for them. It will take 7 times longer. They're trying to change their processes. The thing is, by the time because they have so many processes and they're so burdensome, by the time they get there, the market will have gone back the other way.
Exactly.
That's just the nature of, you know, HR being so big, and HR is as motivated as you are to get hires.
Oh, yeah.
They just have a much more complicated space to operate in, and change for them in the process has to happen at the organizational level, which means multiple approvals from lots and lots of people. It's just slower, where you have more autonomy than an entire department.
Exactly.
You don't have to ask your boss for approval.
No, that's the thing.
Yeah, you just let them know why. And hey, let them know if things get sticky, I'll right. give you a heads up. You'll find likely that they'll allow you to go with it.
Exactly.
And especially if, you know, they're the person, your boss is the person who's been saying, hey, please fill this opening, which is a situation you might be
in. That's the thing. Your boss is probably one of the individuals that's imposing that sense of urgency. So they want this done quickly as well. Chances are very, very, very high that they'll be in full support of you. But again, they can't support you if they don't know what you're doing. So keep them up today.
Yeah, because our goal here, right, is to present an ideal future employee to the system.
Exactly. The ultimate goal of the whole thing, the entire effort, is to find a candidate that you're willing to hire. As long as you haven't been told to stop, and we seriously doubt
don't think
again,
that will happen.
That, yeah, they're not going to tell you to stop. But as long as you haven't been told to fully stop doing what you're doing, continue along with your efforts. When you go to HR with a candidate who may not be a perfect candidate, but whom you and your team have blessed through a rigorous process, it won't be a case where you'll have to convince them. They'll have to deny you.
Right. You're not going to have to sell them. They're going to have to
right.
tell you no. And
right.
that's huge. That's a massive decision for them.
Absolutely.
And frankly, one they're unlikely to make.
Exactly.
It's really unlikely. And
yeah.
in fact, generally, HR does not have the ability to deny managers the ability to hire. How could they, if part of their numbers, their metrics, is to fill this quota of open recs?
Right.
Then how could they say, oh, no, you can't? Like, now, okay, maybe if they fail a background check, fine. But if they fail a background check, you don't want to hire them anyway, which is not presenting a perfect candidate. The goal here is to do this and come up to them and say, here, on this shiny silver platter is the answer to your problems.
Exactly.
But you got to communicate.
We got to communicate. In all of this, you've got to be communicating. Because if you do this all without communicating with your boss and without telling HR where you're at and just show up one day and challenge them to say no, we've said it before, chances are really high they won't say no. But if you do it that way, they might very well rear up and see this as a case of just defending their process control and decision authority.
Right. We've never seen
right?
that. Again.
We've never seen that again. But don't come at them like this is a threat. Don't be the one doing the threatening, because that very well could result in more difficulty than is needed.
Yeah. And
you may have to make a case. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, not just in this one. So like, you're right. Right. You may have to make a case, and it might just be that they let you get this one through, but the next time they're watching you like a hawk, and you don't want them watching you like a hawk. It's not going to
make your
bending of the rules easier. So, okay. So sorry, you were saying you might have to make a case.
Yeah, you might have to make a case. That is, if you're following a different process
than HR's,
you're going to need to make a case and show them what you've done. Again, that it is a professional process, that it's well executed, that what you've done, while maybe not being exactly how we do things here, is definitely a valid and beneficial way of bringing in a new hire.
And that's why we have a process for you. We're not just trying to say, hey, ignore HR's process and figure it out on your own. We have a very robust process that I would even suggest, if you look at it overall, is quite simple to put in place.
I agree.
It's simple. It's that, look, I wish simple always meant easy. It doesn't. It's hard work. It's high functioning work to do this. It should be.
Mm-hmm.
So bear in mind that we have a simple process for you to substitute for this HR one. We're not going to leave you out in the cold. And you may be in a position where you think that your organization is the one that will make this harder.
Yeah.
So, okay, if that's the case, when you do have a final accepted candidate, ask your boss for support in your discussions with HR.
Mm-hmm.
If you've kept her appraised and you've shown her your documented stuff, she'll support you.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can then bring not just your own, hey, I recommend this person, but your boss's, hey, I recommend this person to HR, which is
exactly
pretty fantastic.
Pretty fantastic. And strategically, you'll have established what amounts to a new process. That is, now that you've done it once, and now that we've seen it work, now your process has got legs. Mm-hmm. What that means is there's a process that you've kind of created, which you're going to have a lot more influence over. And because you've been allowed to hire in this process or using this process before, what that means is you'll be able to use it again. And when markets demand this kind of change, you'll be seen as an individual who can come up with those new creative solutions, who can work with HR, but also come up with other ways of bringing in candidates that maybe is beneficial to the organization and is outside of HR's typical processes.
Yeah. Y'all, that's how leaders hire. You can ask the executives at your organization because they don't follow HR's processes.
Right. That's exactly it. So to wrap it all up, when market conditions demand hiring processes change, effective managers don't wait for others to change them. They build a process that brings in great candidates and help others see the values in the process they've created.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks, everyone. It's been a great three-part series. That's all for this week. Have a good one. We'll be back next week with a new topic.
Bye, y'all. Thank you.